Welcome to the Daily International OU Tehillim and Chizuk phone call. This is Naftali Herman from the Orthodox Union. Thank you so much for joining today's call on Yom Shlishi, the 15th day of the month of Tammuz. Thank you to our wonderful and generous sponsors whose names are prominently listed in the OU Today daily email. If you would like to sponsor future calls, we are grateful and always appreciate your support. Please visit ou.org/call. That's ou.org/call. The deadline to submit a sponsorship for tomorrow's call is today at 5 p.m. Eastern Time. On behalf of the OU, it is my great honor to introduce Rabbi Yisrael Motzen, Mor D'Astra of the Ner Tamid Green Spring Valley Synagogue in Baltimore, Maryland, to share Divrei Chizuk, which will be immediately followed by Rabbi Motzen reciting our daily three chapters of Tehillim, the Mishaberach Lecholim, and Achenu. We will conclude our call with a brief conversation between Rabbi Motzen and myself, which will provide us all a window into his wonderful community. Please stay tuned afterwards for information regarding tomorrow's speaker, Bechavod, with great honor, Rabbi Motzen.
Thank you, Rabbi Herman. Thank you so much for having me. It's truly an honor. So we are in the middle of the fourth book of the Torah, the book of Bamidbar, which literally means the wilderness. Bamidbar, as many of us know, describes the Jewish people's journey through the barren wilderness, and it's mostly a tragic tale. You know, the Jewish people complain a lot, they die a lot through divinely ordained plagues and punishments. They rebel against Moshe's leadership and against God, and almost all of the Jews die in the wilderness. And that's one way of looking at the book of Bamidbar. But if we were to focus only on these setbacks, we would miss the most important theme of this book. Rabbi Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin, the Netziv, in his introduction to Bamidbar, describes this book as the book of transitions. Transitions, change, he suggests, is the overarching theme of Bamidbar. And the most important transition is how this book begins with the Jewish people not that far from Egypt and concludes with them at the banks of the Jordan, at the doorstep of Eretz Yisrael, the land of Israel. While they were complaining, while they were rebelling and even dying, they were also, as a nation, taking steps forward to their ultimate goal until they got there. And to me, when I read this idea from the Netziv, the analogy was so incredibly straightforward. You know, we're all traveling right now through an uncharted wilderness with loss and setbacks at every juncture. I don't need to describe that to you. All of us are unfortunately all too aware of what that looks like. But I do want to highlight the fact that we're also making progress. Not only have we transitioned to phase one or phase two in many states around the country, but I venture to say that for all the personal setbacks, we've also grown tremendously. We didn't really have a choice, did we? You know, the existential questions that our fear, anxiety, and boredom forced us to grapple with, the multitasking as we ran schools, playgroups, and our businesses from our living rooms, watching our patients unravel thread by thread, relationship issues that shelter in place prevented us from avoiding, and coming to face-to-face with our mortality. You know, we so often look for resolution to the spiritual challenges we face, and we think that it's only when we, so to speak, pass the test, when we overcome it, that we've accomplished anything. And that's a depressing outlook. Who can honestly say that they have resolved, like fully resolved, any of their inner conflicts? But perhaps this book of Bamidbar could remind us that as we struggle, or more accurately, because we struggle, we're actually moving forward, closer and closer to our goal. Personally, I know that for all my personal setbacks during this time, and there were many, I feel like I've also taken many steps closer to my holy land. I hope we could all look beyond the failures and appreciate the growth that we've certainly made. And may Hashem watch over us, may He see our struggles, and may He ensure that we're able to overcome this corona wilderness speedily in our days. We're now going to say the 20th chapter of Tehillim, Perek Chaf. למנצח מזמור לדוד. ינך אדוני ביום צרה, יסגב השם אלוהי יעקב. ישלח עזרך מקדש, ומציין יסדקה. יזכר כל מנחיסך, ולעשך ידש נפלה. ייתן לך חלבבך, וכל עצתך ימלא. נרענן עד משועתך, ובשם אלוהינו נדגל. ימלא אדוני כל משאלותך. אתה ידעתי, כי הישיע אדוני משיחי. יענהו משמי קדשי, בגבורי ישע ימיני. אלב הרכב ואלב הסוסים, ואנחנו בשם אדוני אלוהינו נזכיר. הם עקרו ונפלו, ואנחנו קמנו ונסיידד. אדוני הישיע, המלך יעננו וימכרנו. Now to the 27th chapter, Perek Chaf Zayin. L'David Adonai Oiri V'yishi Mimi'ira Adonai Ma'oiz Chayai Mimi'efchad Bikroiv Olai Mireim Lechol Esbisori Sorai V'ayvayli Himakashlu V'nafalu Im Tachane Olai Machane La Yira Libi אם תקום עלי מלחמה, בזויס אני ויתח. אך השואלתי מעץ אדוני, עשה אבקש. שבתי בבית אדוני כל ימי חיי. לחזויס בנעם אדוני, ולבקר בהיכלי. כי אצפנני בסוכי, ביום רעה. יפתי ראיני בספר אהלי, בצור ירוי ממני, ואתה ירום ראשי, עלי וי סביב ויסי, ואזבך ואהלי, זבחי שרועה, אשירה וזמרה לאדוני, שמע אדוני קלי יקרא, וחנני וענני, לך אמר ליבי בקשו פני, את פניך אדוני אבקש, אל תסתר פניך ממני, אל תביאף עבדך עזרתי הייתה, אל תדשני ואל תעזבני אלוהי אישי. כי אבי ואמי עזבוני, ואדוני יעצבני, הוריני אדוני דרכך. ונחני בירך נשאר למען שעריי, אל תתנני בנפש צרי, כי קמו בי עדי שקר ופיח חמאס. לולי האמנתי לראות בטוב אדוני בארץ חיים, קווה אל אדוני חזק ויעמת לבך, וקווה אל אדוני. Chapter 130, פרק קוף למד. שיר המעלות ממעמקים, קראתיך אדוני. אדוני שמע בקולי, תהיינה אוזניך קשובי לכל תחנוני. אם אבוני תשמעיה, אדוני מי יעמוד, כי עמך הסליחה למען תברך. קיוויתי אדוני כבשר נפשי, ולדברי היכלתי. נפשי לאדוני משמרים לבקר, שמרים לבקר. יחל ישראל אל אדוני, כי אם אדוני החסד ועדי ימי צדוד, והוא יפתת ישראל מכל אבוני סהב. ונעשה המשברך וחולם. Misha Berachav Eisenu Avram Yitzchak V'Yachayz Moshe Aaron David Ushlaimayim U'yivarech V'rape Yasacholim V'yasacholos. Bavur shanachnu mispalim bavuram and bistarzeh kodesh baruch hu yimalei rachmim aleihem lachli mamlarapotam lachzikam lachyosam vishlach lehem mehirafu ashlema min ashamayim lechalei vareyem lechogideyem yisrach sharchal yisrael refuas hanefesh refuas haguf hashda bagalav yizman kariv zenaymar amein. Acheinu kol beis Yisrael, Acheinu kol beis Yisrael, Hanisunim basara, basara uvashivya, Alimdim bein bayam, Uvein bayabasha. Hamakim yirachim, yirachim aleihem. V'yaisiyei mitzara. Nivacha umeyapel aliyaira. Umishibud. Ligula hashtab bagala uvizman karim v'naymar amen.
Thank you so much, Rabbi Motzen. As we transition into the next part of our call, how are you, your family, and wonderful community doing?
Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem. Thank God. We are doing well. Baruch Hashem. Family's doing well. Thank God. We welcomed a new child to our family during this
Mazel tov.
Thank you. Thank you. Baruch Hashem. Funny time to bring a new life into this world, but thank God everyone is doing well. Baruch Hashem.
Fantastic. Happy to hear. So we're incredibly fortunate to have daily callers to this program from really every corner of North America, Israel, including from various countries in Europe as well. For those of us who are not familiar with your community, or perhaps even Baltimore, which would be surprising, could you please provide us with a brief overview of the Shalom community?
Sure. So our shul is a shul that goes back to the 50s here in Baltimore, and Baltimore at that point is a much smaller community. Our shul Ner Tamid is a truly diverse community. There's about 265 family units. Ranging in all ages and all types of backgrounds, a really eclectic and wonderful group of people. In the past couple of years, we've seen some really beautiful growth in our immediate community, but also in the broader Baltimore community. Baltimore's Orthodox community has really exploded in many ways. I can't even tell you how many Jewish schools there are right now. I lose track. To give you some context, and my son is in one of probably four of the large schools that cater to boys. In his school, there's over 1,000 students, just to give
wow.
you a little bit of context. Yeah.
Wow, unbelievable. Rabbi Motzen, during your opening remarks, you spoke about spiritual growth. How would you say your community has grown from the ongoing pandemic? What is something that's changed that you believe will continue and what we can only hope and pray will soon be a post-corona world, or something that you believe need to change? Or maybe there's a COVID-19 story, something that stands out to you.
Wow.
Besides having a baby.
yeah, that's a little sidebar. So maybe I'll start with a story, because there's something, you know, first of all, there's been so many stories, and some stories are obviously stories that get published and get shared and all over the place. But in the many conversations that I've been having with my congregants and beyond, you know, so many of the stories are not ones that are necessarily what we would call inspiring, but I'm so incredibly inspired by the people who persevered. You know, being in lockdown during this time, and especially in so many unique circumstances, has been so challenging, and losses of life, losses of job, and the fact that people have been able to somehow push through in and of itself is so inspiring. In my own community, one story that just I can't lose sight of is this elderly lady. Well, her name is Estelle. She's in her 80s, and you know, during this time, many people were looking out for the elderly, but Estelle wouldn't have that. She said, "No one's looking out for me. I need to look out for them." And she took our Soul Directory and made it her business to go ahead and call every member of our Soul. And she created a whole schedule for herself where she calls a number of people
amazing.
Every day. And yeah, isn't that amazing? And what I love about it is that she flipped the whole narrative on its head. You know, we're all thinking about looking out for the elderly, but as in our tradition, in our faith, you know, our elderly, they are the source of our inspiration. And she represented that to me. And I absolutely just loved and adored how she was able to do so. So that was
that's great
something
story.
I was able to do.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And in terms of, you know, change that we've seen or starting to see in our community, I think in a situation like this, we've been pulled and pushed in different directions. And that allows us to see and come face to face, like I mentioned earlier, you know, some of our weak spots, perhaps some of the areas that we need the most growth in. And to me, that's the biggest takeaway, because we've learned during this time of populations that we perhaps need to spend more time with and focus mm-hmm. on more. We've seen the weaker links of our programming, of our davening, and how we could, and we've come face to face with that. And to me, this is an incredible opportunity to start fresh. You know, we're starting to go back into our souls. In our soul, we're reimagining everything. We're starting from scratch. How could we reimagine everything we do with the knowledge we have right now? And that's an incredible opportunity. Usually we don't have that. Again, the break has been terrible and sad, but it's now an opportunity to start fresh and rethink everything we're doing and trying to build something even better.
Wow. Well, that really sounds fantastic. And you're not alone there. I've been having similar conversations with the Shul leadership, community leadership around the country. And many have shared similar ideas. That's a good segue for us because at this point, different communities are at different points of partial opening. And as we now seem to be in the midst of a second wave in different regions of the country, or perhaps it's just a continuation of the initial one, where is your show currently at the moment? And do you anticipate anything changing in the near future, at least in your neighborhood?
Right. I've learned during this time not to anticipate anything. I plan I'll be spending the time in the summer preparing a year-long calendar, and we're doing like a week-long calendar right now, week by week. But where we are currently, we just moved indoors, partially indoors. We have our shul set up where, you know, six-foot distancing, masks are mandatory and strictly enforced, and we're having some minyanim indoors, some minyanim outdoors. I'm really not encouraging people to show up right now. If you really want to be there, great. There are many good reasons to stay outdoors, and there are many good reasons to stay home right now. So we're doing a bit of a hybrid model where some tefillos are taking place inside and trying to also give an opportunity for people who don't want to be inside to remain outdoors as well. And planning ahead, you know, we're really trying to plan for all possibilities. Like you said, we don't know where this is going. There's a good chance we'll be outdoors for Yom Narayim. I just asked someone on our staff to start doing more thorough research on canopies for the outdoors, so and probably cycle through a number of quick minyanim on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, but who knows? Really, who knows?
Right. Well, Rabbi Mordechai, thank you so much for being on the call today and for providing us with a brief picture of your really wonderful community, as they are with all of Klal Yisrael and the entire world. Our thoughts and our tefillos, our prayers are with you and your community for continued bracha, success, and good health. We hope and pray that all of our collective efforts for safety, strength, and a refuah for all of those in need will be answered with tova. And may the Rabboni Sha'olam, the master of the world, speedily bring an end to these days of concern and uncertainty. Please join us again tomorrow, Wednesday, at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for words of inspiration from Rabbi Josh Galler of the Young Israel of West Hempstead in West Hempstead, New York. This concludes today's call. With hearts full of faith, stay strong, hopeful, and optimistic. Wishing everyone a wonderful, safe, and healthy day.